hear me okay? All right. All right. Thanks. Perfect. Okay, I'm just going to dive right in, actually, and just talk a little bit about myself for the first 5 minutes, okay? So Andrew was saying that, actually, I was over in university. So for the last 4 years, I have been in Scotland from last July for the 4 years before. And that was a time where I've been really shaped by what God's done in me, by what he's taught me. So I was there doing a social work degree for 4 years, okay? So that's basically kind of what I've been doing with my life for the last wee while, since I've been growing up, since I've been became a man when I was 18, and doing a university degree has been lovely. So done that, and I'm now working in a special needs school as a classroom assistant while looking for social work jobs, doing driving lessons, and that's kind of where I'm at the moment. I think I would describe myself as kind of like a half manly man and a half kind of womanly man, in that I will explain in that I'm a manly man in that I go to the gym, I lift weights, I do kickboxing, so I'm a manly man. But on the other side of things, I'm kind of like, I drink all different variations of teas, green tea, peppermint tea. So that's a little bit about me, a little balance of two things, kind of manly man, but also kind of womanly man as well. So, and I like talking about my feelings, I like talking about emotions and all, so kind of a little bit of both, which is fine. So that's a bit about me. So thanks, Ellen. Qualified social worker, looking for social work jobs, but working in a special needs school at the minute. So that's kind of where I've been at. Saving the best for last, though, is that in August I will be getting married to this beautiful red-haired lady right here. Absolutely, it's a real step of faith on her part to say yes, isn't it? But I will be. So I have asked her, like, and she has said yes. And I didn't just claim her in faith or anything like that. I did actually ask her. So the best for last, so there I are. But that's about me. But the three things that God has been teaching me over the last kind of 4 years since I started uni, well, the three that I can remember anyway, is that nothing is impossible for God. Absolutely nothing is impossible for him. Whatever you consider impossible, God can do even more than that. Whatever you consider possible, he can do much more. So that's the first thing that I've really had in my heart, that actually God can do the impossible. The second thing is actually just on a similar theme, is that God can do far more than you can ever ask or imagine. So anything you're asking for, anything you're praying for, anything you're believing for, God can do far much more than that. And then the third thing, which is just a recent thing, actually a real revelation, is that everything without God is just meaningless. Everything that you do with your life that doesn't have God in it, it's worthless, it's meaningless. No matter what it is, whether it's your job, whether it's you're building relationships, if your heart's not turned towards God in that, it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing. You're not building a kingdom for God. So there are the three things that God's taught me, and that gives you another sense of actually this is who this guy is. So that's what God's taught me the last 4 years. What I'm going to do is I'm going to recap on just the greater series and where we were at for the last kind of 6 weeks. So the story of Gideon basically is that after 7 years of Midianite oppression, the Israelites, they cried out to the Lord. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He called him a mighty warrior, an absolute, just mighty warrior, such a force. And Gideon responds by talking to God about his circumstances. And no, no, God, you've got it all wrong. That's not me, not at all. And that's what he says. He has a bit of doubt, there's fear, there's insignificance. And in week one, it was what Andrew was basically saying, that who you are today is basically who God says you are. Who he says you are is actually what matters. It doesn't matter about your circumstances, it doesn't matter about those sort of things. So that's what week one was about. Week two was all about identity as well. It's the starting block for basically your ministry, it's the starting block for what you do, your job, your family, who you are in Christ is the very most important thing. And actually that what he's done for you brings that new identity of I am a son of God, I am pure, I'm blameless, I'm holy. And that's where that you start from. So that was week two. Week three was our friend Pastor Shima from Death to Life, and how he spoke, I think it was week three, it was, week three, and he spoke about how basically God can do the impossible. He can take any situation from death and bring life to it. Week four, Andrew was talking about cutting down the Asherah poles, the Baals, and actually how Gideon was a bit afraid of the fear of man he had. And Andrew, one line that he said was, when people are big and you're small, you're limiting God. And actually that's what was spoke about that week, how actually the fear of man, we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of the Asherah poles, get rid of the Baals. Week five was 2 weeks ago, Dr. Phil talking about taking risks and how God enabled Gideon and 300 people to do something that was so impossible that actually it didn't even make sense. One person from Gideon's army, 300 men, actually would equal fighting 450. I think it was 450 of theirs, which is just crazy. But God was able to do the impossible there. And then last week, Andrew spoke about facing discouragement and disappointment, how years of defeat could rob you of a victory tomorrow. And that's what he spoke about, how basically there was the before Gideon, who wasn't clothed in the Holy Spirit, and after Gideon, who then, when clothed in the Holy Spirit, was able to do incredible things and was able to face all those difficult things he came up against. So, and then he said 3 points, which was know your identity, gather the right people around you, and stand still because God will fight for you. So that's basically a little short where we were and actually to now where we are. And week 7 now is actually all about imagining and dreaming big with God. It's actually now about believing that the very story that Gideon was involved in can actually happen for you, the very same thing. And now it's about actually changing our way of thinking today, that actually the impossible happened then. Actually, God is still doing the impossible now. So actually, it's not that we just read the Bible and read the story of Gideon as, oh, just a really nice story. God did an incredible thing there. It's recognizing today and reigniting your heart that actually God can do that for me in my situation. So that's what we're all about today. We're imagining and we're dreaming big with God. Okay, so I should say that actually on a regular basis, actually, I actually dream and imagine about the impossible all the time. So for those who really know me really well, well, actually, only if you know me a little bit, you'll know that actually I am a huge Superman fan. Absolutely massive. Like, I'm wearing Superman socks today already. I'll show you. Here they are. I am a huge, huge Superman fan, okay? So regularly, I'm not kidding you on this. I'm a 22-year-old man, almost 23, but I daydream about being able to fly. I'm not joking. See, in the middle of working home, and I'm meant to be working with children, and I'm just daydreaming. I'm daydreaming, social worker. I'm just daydreaming about flying. How amazing would that be? Incredible. But so the thing is, I'm actually going to bring a serious point to this. I imagine about that all the time. How great would that be? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it, Andrew? Being able to fly, soar, get to places, no problem. Wouldn't need a car. Could stop my driving lessons right now. Just away I go. I dream about it all the time. I'm such a weirdo. I dream about it all the time. But you would say, that's impossible. That is so far-fetched. Now, I'm not about to start preaching that I can fly. I'm not going to do that. But it's far-fetched, isn't it? It's crazy. But if there was even a notion that it was true, oh, I'd want to show you. Like, I'd be up doing things. Whenever I was a wee child, I used to jump down the stairs and all, with a cape and all on to try and actually make myself fly. I'm not joking. I used to do it. I hurt myself and all really bad when I was younger. So I absolutely love this thing. So far-fetched. But if there was even a hint that it was true, I'd be out trying to do it. I really would. I'm not such a weirdo. But the thing is, the story of Gideon is actually, some people look at that and they go, that is so far-fetched. God, 300 people defeating 132,000, was it? Something crazy like that. That's so far-fetched. Our God, raising people from the dead, healing sickness, changing families, changing situations, no way. But the difference with the flying thing and actually God is that it's not far-fetched. And actually, there is more than a hint that you can do those things. There's more than a hint that God can do those things. So the challenge is, why are we not out showing that we can do that? And the challenge is today to change our thinking that actually we can go out and show those very same things the way that I wouldn't be flying, because it's not true, but actually I dream about it all the time. So it's important that we dream about the right things, and actually when there is a hint of truth in which there is, that God can do far more than you can ask or imagine, let's get out and show people, because it can actually be done. So that's just a little bit more about me, about flying. So it's not far-fetched. And what God wants to do today is actually reignite something in your life, which is actually in my work, in my family, and whatever. He can do more than I can ever ask or imagine. So we're going to learn a few lessons, though, from the story of Gideon, actually how we do that, how we know that we can do the impossible, how we know that God can do it through us. So if we look in Judges, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start from verse 12. Okay, so we've had Gideon is in the wine press, hiding in the wine press. And we're starting from verse 12, and it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned and said to him, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand? Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. So we're going to take little snippets from the story of Judges 6 and 7. The first thing I want to really say is a lesson from Gideon of how you can believe for the impossible and how you can actually change your way of thinking is that whenever God says in verse 16, I will be with you, the whole dynamic changes. The whole dynamic of your life changes. When you know God is with me, it changes everything. Looking at just Luke chapter 5, I'm just going to just say it from memory. In Luke chapter 5, what happens is Peter is out fishing all night when Jesus comes up to him and says, here, let down a catch and you'll catch some fish. And Peter says, I've been fishing all night, God, all night. But because you say so, I'll let down my nets. And as we probably know, actually, the story happens is he lets down his nets and they catch so many fish. And Jesus then says, you'll be catching men next. And the thing is, the disciples have been fishing all night, but after Jesus said, I'm with you, do this, the whole dynamic changed. I want to encourage you that actually, sometimes when we're trying to believe for the impossible, when we're trying to dream big with God, we actually might have to go back and do the very same things we've been doing for a very long time, and actually that we haven't seen a breakthrough in, because all those 10, 12 times that we've been trying it, God's not been with us. But then maybe the 13th or the 14th time, he'll say, I'm with you. That's when it changes. That's when that dynamic changes, and actually you might have a breakthrough. So what does that look like? You might have been praying for someone who's been sick for an awfully long time. The same way Peter's been fishing all night, you might have been praying for a long time and there's been no breakthrough. You might be looking for a new job and there's no breakthrough. You might have to continue to bless that person who really annoys you and you really can't stand. But actually, maybe that 100th time, that's when God says, I'm with you on this one. So actually, believing for the impossible, you might have to go back to where you've been before and do it all again. It might not always be a fresh new thing God wants you to do. Sometimes he might want you to revisit some areas of your life and see a breakthrough, even though you didn't see a breakthrough 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 1 year ago. You might see it this year. You might see it today in the same way that Peter, out all night, but God says, I'm with you. And actually, because you say so, God, I let down my net. And it's the same with that. And the same as well with Elijah. Elijah prayed for rain. Prayed for rain 7 times. Wasn't the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, or the sixth. But it was the 7th time with God with him. That's when the rain came. So I want to encourage you. You might have to push through. It might not be the first time, the second time. But I want to encourage you to believe for the impossible is actually to realize when you know God is with you, the dynamic changes. Even if all the results previously didn't work, this time it'll work if you know God's with you. That's the first lesson that we have from Gideon, is actually that he says, I am with you. The second point that we can look at is in Judges chapter 7, and this is 1 to 8, verses 1 to 8. And it says that early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped in the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands. And my own strength, or Israel would say, boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now I announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. All I want to just is grab is the first wee verse here, actually, is the importance of actually preparing well. In verse 1, it says, early in the morning, Gideon camped all of his men at the spring of Harod, and then actually they then camped near the valley, because the camp of Midian were in the valley. So I want to encourage you that when you believe for the impossible, when you're actually trying to change your way of thinking, it's really important to prepare well. What did Gideon do? He got up really early. He actually got up early in the morning as one who was actually, he was impatient of delay. He didn't want to delay God and what God was going to do that day. So he got up early. He didn't get up late and say, oh, God's going to do something for me today, so it doesn't matter what pace I go at. He got up early. What's the next thing he did? He camped near water, actually, so that all his troops, all the army, actually, they wouldn't be complaining about thirst, would they? He got up and actually, they camped near the well. And the third thing that he did is he gained the higher ground. Actually, the Midianite army were in the valley, so he decides, I'm going to camp all around them on the hills. I'm going to camp around them on the cliffs and the mountains, and we're going to look down on them. Actually, so it might give some advantage to him. So actually, there is an importance of preparing well, not just saying that God can do more than I can ask or imagine, so it doesn't really matter what I do. It doesn't matter if I apply for that job, or it doesn't matter if I work really hard or I prepare for work, or it doesn't matter if I don't pray for sickness or not, or pray for health. Actually, it does matter. And what Matthew Henry, is a commentator on the Bible, would say is that faith in God and his promises mustn't slacken, but actually rather quicken our endeavors. Actually, whenever we believe that God can do something, we must make sure that actually we're placing ourselves in the very right position to make sure that we see it and make sure that we receive whatever he's got for us. So there's an importance of preparing well. Actually, there is an importance of preparing well when you believe for the impossible. It's not just taking your hands off it and say, sure, God can do whatever he wants. It's true, God can do whatever he wants, but he wants to use you as an instrument. So I want to encourage you that actually prepare well with God. Place yourself in the right position, and actually then you'll receive the blessing the more. Imagining and dreaming big, you'll see the fulfillment of what you dream for if you place yourself in the right position. An example, basically, is actually me today preaching. Andrew didn't ask me preaching about a month ago and say, here, do you want to preach? And then I just said, well, sure, I'll just turn up on the day and God will just speak right through me. One day it'll be absolutely brilliant. I'll just bang out a half an hour sermon, no problem. Actually, no, I sat and I prepared and I read and I prayed. And actually, that is only then God is going to, I believe, work through me because actually I prepared. So it's the same thing with you as well. Prepare with God. Read his word. Pray to him. Spend time with him. And actually then you'll receive the fullness, the blessing. Then you'll be able to believe for the more if actually you're preparing well. So as Matthew Henry says, faith must not slacken, but rather quicken our endeavors. What is it Andrew says? This is a good word. This is a good word. Peace to ourselves, a good word. No, but that is true. It mustn't slacken, but quicken our endeavors. The next point, sorry, I think I messed up on the screen of the verses. The next point actually is actually in the same amount of verses, and I'll just continue reading on in verse 7. So he sent the 22,000 men left, the 10,000 remained. He said, but the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I'll thin them out for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. Wait a second there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. This one not with you, he'll not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord said, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites. Sorry, my Kindle keeps cutting out here. I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of others. I want to just encourage you here that imagining and dreaming big for the impossible, for the things that are very difficult to believe, that God can do the more in your life than you ever believed before. Actually, it doesn't matter about your resources. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter whether you have a lack of money or an abundance of money. God can do the more with whatever you have. It doesn't matter if, like me, I don't have a car, I can't drive. God will still use me. It doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter about your job. God can use you wherever you are, way more areas than you can ever remember. As we heard the other week from Dr. Phil, it was 300 men conquered over a whole Midianite army. God can do much more with less than you have, or actually with the more that you have. It actually does not depend on your resources, because God can still work through you. Actually, and in some sense, it doesn't matter if you don't have the confidence. It doesn't matter if you have the right job. Actually, it doesn't matter the things that you have. The things you have in your hands doesn't matter, because God can put in your hands whatever he requires you to do, in the same way with Gideon. Gideon had too much. I'm not really someone who has the too much money or the too much cars or the too much. But actually, God actually might not use the very things you think he'll use. God, I've got all this money. You can use all this. He might not want to use all of that. He might use something else. But it's important to remember, it doesn't matter what resources you have. God can still do the impossible through you. And actually, that's what he did with the army of Gideon. He cut them down right to 300 for thousands and thousands, actually, so that they wouldn't boast and say, it was us, God, we did it. And so that we may not boast and we can believe for the more, actually, he'll use what he wants to use, But you've just got to take your hands off your own resources and say, God, take what you please. And that's when God will do the more and do the amazing things that he can do. So that's the importance of preparing well and imagining and dreaming for the impossible. It doesn't depend on your resources. Another lesson we can take from Gideon is actually is just in two verses, and it's Judges 6:27 and Judges 7:10-11. It's just on the screen. And it's actually that it says here, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather in the daytime. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, this is when he said to him to go into the camp, get up, go down against the camp because I'm going to give it in your hands. If you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterward, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. We see in the story of Gideon, actually, more than a lot of other stories in the Bible, that fear, doubt, actually are kind of a bit normal. Actually, it's not a bad thing to say, God, I'm a little bit afraid here. Or I'm a little bit, I don't really know how this is going to work out, God. But the difference is that God gives you the opportunity to resolve it, to actually get rid of the fear, to get rid of the doubt. And actually, it's not the only place that we see is just Gideon. We see it in with Moses' story. God calls him in the burning bush and says, Moses, you're going to speak to all these people. And what does Moses say, even after being told by the living God, which is a funny one? He says, I can't speak, I can't do it. But actually, what does God do? He gives him the opportunity to resolve it. The first choice is, well, I would like you to go on your own, Moses. And then he says, well, all right, then we'll take Aaron. Take Aaron and he'll go with you and he'll speak for you. He gives us the opportunity to resolve our fear. And actually, even if we're still a little bit afraid, more than often God gives he still gets his purposes done, but he maybe brings someone alongside you. In the story of Gideon, he went down with a servant and he also went down and did it in the night because he was afraid. God sometimes gives another way to do it. And fear and doubt, they're totally normal, but you have to resolve them. You can't go continually with your fear. And that's why we see Gideon with the before and the after Gideon. One who was not clothed with the Spirit and then one who was clothed with the Spirit who would be able to defeat a whole army. And that's another point of what Andrew said last week, or I think 2 weeks ago, is about gathering yourself with the right company. Actually, that's what God did with Gideon. He says, take your servant down and go with them and then you'll be encouraged. God, more than often, if you're struggling to believe for the more, for the miracles, for the presence of God in your life, ask for someone to come alongside you and do it with you. Actually, that's what Moses did. That's what Gideon did. It's not always a bad thing, but you have to resolve the fear, whether that's going with someone else or whether that's doing what Jeremiah did, which is when God said to Jeremiah, you go and speak. He said, I'm too young. And God says, no, you're not. You can do it. Jeremiah just went, all right, then I'll go and do it. God gives you the opportunity to resolve it, and he'll come alongside you to help you resolve that fear and resolve that doubt, that insignificance. But you have to resolve it, because actually, one of the biggest ways that we can limit God, and if you just go with the next slide there, is actually in the wine press, is actually when we limit God. And this is basically a wee kind of a, like a TripAdvisor thing for the wine press. The wine press basically is where Gideon was found by God. The perfect place for unresolved fear. Actually, the perfect place for small-minded living. You can escape from reality and forget about all your problems. Actually, you'll come back in the same state that you left in. And you'll experience the sights of possibility, mediocrity, and normality in the wine press. Little energy needed and minimal efforts required when you're there. You just have a nice, relaxing time. It's cheap, it's affordable, and it's an alternative to reality and real living. So have fun in the wine press, actually. You can go there, it's no problem. But you'll just have a mediocre time in the wine press, really. And that's where God found Gideon, in a place which wasn't much crack, really. It wasn't real living. It wasn't quality living at all. Actually, Gideon was living the very least, and there was nothing there for him. I think there's actually a few different types of people, I think, who come in and around the wine press, who decide that, actually, God doing the impossible, that's too much to believe for me. And actually, I'm guilty of it sometimes. There's the people who make the wine press their permanent home. And actually, they just decide to ship out and go out there and live there with all their stuff and all their family. We'll just go to the wine press and we'll just continue to have small-minded living. Our God, come on, I've got too big of a situation going on. We're too sick to see God do anything, so we'll just live in the wine press where actually we believe he'll not do anything for us, so we'll just stay this way. You're there all the time, 365 days a year. There's that group of people. There's another group of people who make it their holiday home. Actually, they go there once in a while. They'll not go there for the small things, because sure, God can do those things, can't he? God can do those things. He can maybe give me a new job, but don't ask him to heal me of cancer, because actually he's not big enough to do that, is he? But those kind of people in the story of Gideon are the people who you cut down the Asherah pole, you get rid of the Baal temple, the idols. But then actually, because the townspeople who were raging after Gideon did that, that's a wee bit too much for you. So you get a wee bit far and you've cut down the pole, that's great. But then whenever fear of man comes and they say, hey, what are you doing cutting down our pole? What are you doing trying to do things for God? Away you go back running to the wine press. Back to wee break it as we relax and break out of here because it's too much. I've just done something for you, God, but it's just too much at the minute. So you treat it as a wee holiday home. The fear of man gets you. The other one is actually that you're probably the thousands who actually went with Gideon, first of all, before God cut them down. God said, anybody without anybody who's afraid, anybody who doesn't want to be here, sure, away you go home, that's fine. Actually, there's the other type of people. So you've cut down the Asherah pole. You've went with Gideon, you're in his army, you're ready, and you say, God, I believe we can get out of slavery the same way that with the Midianites. You believe you can get rid of the Midianites. But then you see the size of their camp, don't you? And you see the size of their army. And whenever God says to Gideon, sure, if anyone's afraid, away you go. And you go, that's me, I'm away back to the wine press because this is a wee bit too much for me. So actually, the wine press is perfect, really. You can have it as a permanent home, you can have it as a holiday home. Whatever you really want, actually. But so there's those types of people. I think actually it's probably easier to go. It's easier to go to the wine press than a lot of us think. In all seriousness, how many of us really think that we could have went down into a camp of however many 132,000 Midianites and sat and listened to a wee story or a wee dream that a man had? I just think I couldn't have done that. Now I've said I'm a manly man, and I kind of am. Like, I mean, there's. If somebody asked me to chop wood in the winter bare-chested, I'd go and do it. Like, you know, that's the kind of man. That's that manly side of me. Like, you know, I love all that kind of stuff. I dream all about. I just another thing I dream about is. Lauren thinks I'm a real weirdo. I dream about like fighting lions and bears and all. Like, it's real. Do you know real manly man stuff? I Tarzan and I save the world, no problem. But even with me and my manly thinking, I'd love to, you know, do all that kind of stuff and manly man. I wouldn't have done what Gideon did. I know that. I think that's very, very hard, actually. And actually, that's something I would need faith for, to go down and lead an army of 300 people into a camp of thousands and thousands. So it's maybe a lot easier to go to the wine press than you think. Maybe a lot easier to take a wee trip there. But the thing is, we have to resolve that fear and that doubt. And actually, we have to be able to say, God, even though I've got this fear, and even though I'm very tempted to go back to the wine press, what we need to do is actually, it's time to sell the wine press. It's no good to you. The holiday home's no good, actually. The permanent home or the wee vacation, it's no good. That small-minded living, that mediocre thinking is actually not what's ever going to make us see the blessing of God and the presence of God in our lives. It's never going to make us see the miracles. It's never going to make us believe that our friend at work or our spouse or our family can be saved. It's never going to be able to change that limit, that way of thinking, if you're going to the wine press. And actually, because what God has said to us is actually that we can walk through fire and we'll not be burned. We can walk through the waters and they'll not pass over us. This is what God has said to us, that we can do the more than we can ever ask or imagine, because actually we have, when we're clothed with the Spirit, we can do those things. So it's making sure that we resolve our fear and our doubt and the feeling of being insignificant, of God, I just don't know how you can do that. What I've got on my plate this week, it's just too hard. It's making sure that we change that thinking and stop going to the wine press. And another thing is that we find is the Israelites, we see in the next slide there, is Judges chapter 6, and it's just verses 1 to 10. It says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land, ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord says, the God of Israel says, I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." Actually, that what is the biggest way we can limit what God does for us, and we can limit him, is forgetting what he said to us, and is forgetting what he's done. The Israelites forgot that they were led out of Egypt. They actually did not remember who their God was. They actually had decided, we're going to live a different way. And actually, what was the result? Slavery for 7 years, because they took their eyes off God and they forgot what he said. What has been spoken to you over your life? What has been prophesied to you that you have just left by the wayside? Not very important. Sure, God, you said that a couple of years ago, but I've not seen it happen, so I'll just forget about it. What has God said to you that you've let grown cold? What dream did you have that he was going to be able to do in you that you just kind of said, oh, it's not happened, so God, I guess it's never going to happen. What impossible dream did you just say, oh, it's impossible, so I'll just live in the possible world, actually, where God will just do some things for me, but that thing I really thought was going to happen, it's not going to happen anymore. What was your Egypt that you forgot about, that what he's done for you? What have you forgotten that he said to you? What have you left by the wayside for far too long? It's time to sell the wine press, and it's time to get rid of the thinking that God can only do what I imagine. Because actually, I can imagine quite a lot. I can imagine that God could heal someone, but that is the very least that God thinks about, and that's the very least that he can do. So I want to encourage you, it's time to believe in the same way that Gideon did. The 300 men could take on a whole Midianite army. You have to remember what he's told you. You have to remember what he's done for you every single day. And that's why Andrew would stand up here and talk about being thankful every day for God has done something for you and actually for stuff that he can do. It's important that we allow the Spirit of God to come upon us, and he says, I am with you. And actually a promise that we have is in Matthew 28 when God says that I will be with you always, even till the ends of the age. I'll be with you when you're out making disciples. I'll be with you when you're in your work. I'll be with you when you're driving your car, when you're with your family, when you're with your enemies. I'll be with you. So I want to encourage you not to just imagine that God can just keep doing the same old, same old. It's time to believe for the more. It's time to believe for the impossible that God can do. Start to dream big with God, not based on your resources, but on what he says. Not on your resources, not on your bank balance, not on your dead-end job. Actually, start to believe what he can do in you, which is much more than you can ask or imagine. And you maybe show that by investing in God, by preparing well with him. Invest with him. And by preparing and investing in other people, prepare well and busy yourself in him. Read his word every single day. Put yourself and root yourself with him. Because it's only when you've got a heart that's ready, then you'll be able to go and receive. Whenever you've got rid of the Asherah pole, then you go and fight the Midianites. Only when you've done that. And what's the result of that? If you just go to the next slide. The result of that is actually, thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. And then there was, during Gideon's lifetime, the land had peace for 40 years. When you believe for the big, the thing that you've been subdued by, you'll be able to subdue it. The thing that's been challenging you and too big for you, actually, you'll turn it on its head. No longer will I be a slave, God. No longer will I be a slave to small thinking or a slave to fear or a slave to being afraid of that person or of that thing. Because actually, whenever you change your mindset, then your Midian, who was oppressing you, is then subdued for a very long time, if you change your way of thinking. I want to challenge you and just with a question. When was the last time you fought some Midianites? When was the last time you took your very small 300 men and the very little that you had with God and went up against something that, humanly speaking, was too big When was the last time that you took the limits off God? He says, I'm going for this, God, because you've said, even though you don't think you can do it, and I want to encourage you that that is the life that we are to live. We might have to fight Midianites quite a lot, but the miracles and the impossible that we'll see will far outweigh what's in the wine press, because that's just worthless. Like I said at the start, it's meaningless without God. The wine press is just worthless. And then as a result, if you just go to the next slide again, it's actually, once you've been able to subdue whatever has been oppressing you, once you say, God, I believe and I proclaim life over my situation, when I believe that you can do more than I can ask or imagine, we then see in Hebrews that whenever Paul is going through all the people of the faith in the Old Testament who showed that they were filled with the presence of God and they said, yes, I believe and I have faith to see, it says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Now, out of all the people that trusted God in the Bible, Gideon got a mention. He didn't have time to tell the whole story about Gideon, but his name was dropped in there as someone who believed God and actually witnessed the impossible and witnessed miracles and incredible things. I want to encourage you that if you then believe that God can take away your Midianites, whatever that looks like, you will leave a legacy where everybody else who looks at your life, they'll say, I don't have time to tell you about Adam or Andrew or Brian or all these different people, or Lauren or Sophie or all these different people. They'll say, I don't have time to tell you about that. What God did in their life was amazing. It was incredible. You can leave a legacy by believing that your God is bigger than your situation, bigger than your Midianite problem. And I want to encourage you with that, that actually we'll come up against Midianites quite a lot in our life, but it's believing that he can do the more and believing that he can do the impossible. Then you'll experience the peace of God, which lasted 40 years. 40 years. Now I'm aware there's some people in 40 years who might not be here in 40 years, but some of them will be here. But actually, you'll experience a peace that will last a very long time, no matter how many battles you have to face. You'll have the peace because actually, you defeated Midian. You defeated Midian on the 15th of February 2015. I did it then, so I'll do it next time, and I'll do it the time after that. And you'll be able to leave a legacy, a powerful legacy that God can do the more than you can ask or imagine. So I want to encourage you with that, and that's just me finishing now, that actually God can do the more than you can ask or imagine. Start to believe that you can dream big with him, and actually you can imagine that he can do it. Okay? Amen.